Hello and welcome to the programme. Well, as you probably already know, this year we celebrate 25 years of Mooney Goes Wild on RTE Radio 1. Can you believe it? 25 years! I must have blinked. So we've decided on Monday nights to give you a second chance to hear some of our featured documentaries from that quarter of a century. And we begin tonight with The Swallow, From Egg to Africa, presented by Eric Dempsey. Now recently I caught up with Eric on a farm in County Wicklow.
Derek, we are here in the wonderful old farmhouse belonging to my neighbours, James North, and we're here with Mark, his son, who's a great interest in nature. And the outhouse that we're standing in here is about 200 years old, Derek.
Wow.
And Mark has a great interest in nature, and the whole family are very environmentally friendly and have welcomed me here as a birder.
So this is a good place for swallows, Mark, is it?
Yeah, we've plenty of swallows around. You see them flying around all the fields, swooping down low, and lovely to see having them around.
Describe the outhouse that we're in now, if you would, please.
So this is part of the old courtyard, which makes up the main yard. The one we're in at the moment was a piggery, so this was originally, behind us you can see all the styes, and it was divided up, and it was for all the pigs. So there's about 9 sty units here, and then behind the sty here is a walled garden, and that's where all the manure and dung would have been swept into. So it's one part of the courtyard that we're in at the moment.
And it's got a pitched roof.
Yeah, pitched roof, and that's where the swallows are living, up in the eaves and along the beams. So it's perfect for them to live in.
And as we see right now, there's at least 3 swallow nests directly above us. And these are old swallow nests. And this is what always amazed me about swallows, is that Their nests are made from little balls of mud with grass woven into them. I always think of W.B. Yeats. I think I've said this before, you know, a cabin build there of clay and wattles made, you know, from the Lake Isle of Innisfree. And for that reason, these nests can last up to 10 years. And what often happens is that the birds will come in and they will just do a bit of repair work here. And what really gets me, Derek, about swallows and Mark is that when you consider that the swallows that are coming in and out of this shed, that's 200 years old, are direct descendants of the swallows that were here 200 years ago. If you could take a line of your family and the people who've lived here, do a genetic line, and of the swallows, they're the same birds.
How can you be absolutely sure of that, Eric?
We've done ringing studies where you can tell that a bird is coming back. Particularly the males come back. The females tend to move within a kilometre or two of where they've nested. But we put rings on birds, and you can tell then that the following year that adult male is back, but also one of the chicks is back nesting somewhere else. Mm. And then you ring their chicks, and then the following year their chicks are back.
Do you think then these are generations of the same family in the same outhouse, as opposed to generations going and nesting elsewhere in the area? And the other question is, why are they coming all the way up here? I mean, it's a long journey. You've got to leave South Africa, then you come through the Congo, then you come across the Sahara Desert, and then you're over Morocco, isn't it? And then maybe into France, and then to Ireland. What's the point of taking such a long journey? Surely there was somewhere else they could stop.
It's a great mystery, you know, that these birds do these incredible journeys. But there's great logic to it, because in the northern hemisphere where we are, say, up at this latitude, we have very long daylight hours. It gets bright in midsummer at 4 o'clock in the morning. It stays bright until at least 10 o'clock at night. And that allows swallows to start feeding their young very, very early and to continue feeding their young throughout the day. As a result, birds like swallows in Ireland can have up to 2, maybe 3 broods in a good summer. That's the payoff. So you take this great risk, you produce maybe 12 young in a single breeding season, and all that's required is 2 to survive, to keep that population stable. So the mortality rate for young swallows is very, very high. So any young swallow coming back, and every young swallow that's fledged, is a bonus for the species. It's a great gamble. It's a
troll. Yeah, but surely they could stop somewhere else on the way.
Yeah, you see, there's also an abundance of insects here. Well, there was. And see, this is the point.
Well, have you noticed any change in insect numbers, Mark?
Yeah, you would notice a few less around the place, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point, is that the insect population has declined, but the swallows are genetically programmed now to fly this far north. The theory was that they probably followed the receding ice during the Ice Age. Mm. They followed further north. They're so genetically programmed now, they don't think about it. They just do it. It's instinctive.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do they go any further, for example? So we find swallows on all the continents, and even in Antarctica, yeah. I believe. Do they go to Iceland?
They don't go as far...
Well, you've got all that 24 hours daylight in summer.
But that's a long journey across open sea. That is a very long journey across open sea. So they do go up as far as places like Norway and Finland and places like that and up into Russia. But to cross over into Iceland requires them a long journey across open water. And that is an enormous risk for birds like swallows, because if you meet storms, if you meet bad weather, it's almost, you know, a step too far for those birds.
So they won't do it, or they haven't done it. Are they recorded there?
They are recorded there, but they're not a regular species.
But not in any
species. Yeah, yeah.
Large numbers.
No.
And in terms of how they feed on the air. You're talking about the insects. Do you ever stop and watch the mark when you're out in the fields doing whatever you're doing?
Yeah, around checking the sheep, you'd see them swooping down. You can see them catching little insects, yeah.
And do they ever take any of the wool off the sheep? Have you ever noticed that?
You could see them like on a fence or like, you know, swooping down and where the bit of wool is caught on a fence, and you could see them pulling on it.
Would they land to tug at the wool and fly off with it, or do they do it when they're on the wing? Because I'm very curious about that. I've seen images of swallows on the wing taking feathers in the air. And you think, well, how do they get that? And why don't they just land on the ground and take them?
They could land on a bit of wire. You wouldn't really often see them landing on the ground, but they could land on a piece of fencing wire and then pull the bit of wool off it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, is that these are aerial birds. These are birds designed for flying. It's a risk for a bird like that to land on the ground. They will land on the ground, of course, because they have to gather the mud. And I always say during dry periods around a farm is spray a bit of water, make it an area that's muddy. Because in very dry conditions, you know, they need to be able to create mud. Everything is dry during a hot summer. So they will land on the ground, but they are opportunistic. I mean, they will see a feather and they will chase it. I've seen swallows, and it's birds don't play. Crows play, but most birds don't play. But I've seen swallows.
Well, they say the corvids are intelligent.
Yes.
But I think all birds must be intelligent to survive in the first place.
Absolutely. They've survived a lot longer than we... They've been around a lot longer than we have.
They were the dinosaurs.
They were the dinosaurs. But I've seen swallows dropping feathers in the air and swooping back down to catch them. And I've seen young swallows do that, where they have a feather and they will almost play with it. But it's not so much play, it's practicing their flying skills. Very interesting to watch it. But they are opportunistic. But they will, as Mark says, they will land and they will take wool off barbed wire. And of course, why they're doing that is because once they've built the nest, and the nest is made of the mud and the grasses, they then need to line that nest. And that is lined usually by the female. The female, it's like the male does the main work, both of them will work and build a nest. But it's the female that's in charge of the interior design. She's the one that's going to incubate those eggs. She's the one that's going to sit there. So she needs to line the nest, and they put feathers and they put wool and all sorts of stuff in the nest.
But is she feeding? Is he feeding? Are they both feeding?
They are both brilliant parents. Absolutely incredible parents. And they are quite faithful to each other. Again, from ringing studies, we've shown that the male arrives first and claims his nest back again. And there's been cases with birds that we've studied where, you know, female and male have met each other again after the winter, and they've done it for 5-6 years in a row, which is quite incredible.
Are you ringing birds here? Or does anybody come in and ring the birds in here, Mark?
No, not here.
No. So you're just letting them do their own thing.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm curious about, you know the old adage, the early bird catches the worm. You know, the first bird up in the morning, it's usually maybe a thrush or a blackbird or something, big guy, so it catches the light, and it gets up and it's out there feeding straight away and blah, 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 blah. Does that mean that it's the best producer? And I'll tell you why I ask you that, because I heard of a record on the Spring Alive website, springalive.net, which is managed by Birdwatch Ireland here in Ireland, but it is operated right across Europe. And this is a network of people who are looking out for birds coming, and they register them on this website, springalive.net. So you can see all the spring migrants coming in. And there was a record of a swallow in February in Ireland. Now, I'm wondering, is that very early? And does that mean that that swallow has the best chances of survival, finding a mate, finding a good location to nest, and then producing offspring? Or is it a dangerous thing for that swallow to do, to leave Africa early, you know, when the weather may not be quite right, arrive here, there may not be the food source it needs? I'm just thinking out loud.
It's a great question. I believe that bird, the chances are birds in February, is a bird that never migrated in the first place.
Ah.
I saw my first swallow of 2020 on the 2nd of January in County Galway.
That's very, very early.
It's ridiculously early.
But Eric, you're sure it was a swallow?
There was actually two of them. Now, it wasn't that those birds are migrants. Those birds never migrated.
So they stayed here?
They stayed here. Now, That means they didn't have the journey to make. They didn't cross the Sahara Desert and they didn't cross, you know, all those dangers. But food is vital. Thankfully, it was a mild winter.
It was.
And obviously, they were able to eke out enough food to get them through. But if we got snow, if we got heavy frost, those birds were doomed. They need insects. It's not like other birds like black caps who will turn to berries and apples and things in the winter. They need insects. So a bird in February, the chances are, unless it wintered in Spain and decided to shoot forward and try its luck, it's a dangerous game.
In our 25th year, we're looking back at some of the documentaries we broadcast over those years. And I came to you and I said, would you like to make a documentary about something? And you said the swallow. Why did you choose the swallow?
Because since I was a kid, they were perhaps the bird that inspired me most. I remember as a kid with my dad down in the Botanic Gardens, the bots as we called it, looking at the ponds, and they were swooping down and drinking. And I was watching these birds. I was probably only 4. And I remember my dad saying, you know, these birds come all the way from Africa. Now, I'm like only a kid going all the way from Africa. And I just couldn't comprehend that a bird that size was capable of doing that. And now, as an adult, I still have that in my head saying, God, these birds have come all the way from Africa. That's incredible. You know, I've always said that I think swallows, you know, arriving into Ireland should be met by an orchestra. What they achieve is phenomenal. And that blew my mind when I was 4 years old. And here I am, 58, and it's still blowing my mind. And I think till the day I die, seeing my first swallow each year just fills me with that feeling of, God, that is incredible. It's that sense of wonder that I think I had as a kid that I still carry with me. And it's something I treasure. It's my most precious gift, is that sense of wonder.
Well, you can sit back now, relax and enjoy it. It's called The Swallow, From Egg to Africa, presented by Eric Dempsey. Mark, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
There are some birds which everyone knows, young and old alike. Robins, swans, magpies and the swallow. Swallows have been familiar to man for thousands of years. They are mentioned in the Bible and are recorded in ancient Greek writings. In fact, it was the Greek philosopher Aristotle who once wrote, "One swallow does not a summer make," and there was never a truer word spoken. However, if one bird is to epitomise the arrival of summer, it is indeed the swallow.
If I see a swallow on the last day of March, I'm pleased. It's a kind of like a bit of an annual challenge with me. I like to sort of get the buzz of seeing the first swallow of the year. And once you see the first swallow, you realise, well, winter is gone, it's spring, summer's just round the corner. But by and large, the numbers don't arrive until the first half of April.
The swallow is a bird which represents the turning of the year, of balmy summer evenings and long sunny days ahead. Perhaps this is why swallows are so well known and are such a welcome sight each spring. But what of the swallow in Irish folklore and culture? Ecologist Éanan Lee Launa.
The Irish word for a swallow is fánlóg. And this word, fánach, is actually the Irish word for wandering, you know, the spalpeen fánach. So the wandering bird really is what, the wandering one is what the fánlóg means in Irish. That's where the word comes from. And of course, Irish people long ago knew that the swallow went away and came back. But what they didn't know was where it went. And they were actually sure it hibernated. And in actual fact, there was reports of fishermen with their nets dragging up great quantities of hibernating swallows from the depths. And they wrote up about this, which just goes to show even then you couldn't believe what you read in the newspapers. And of course, the poor old swallows were considered to be cures for things. You know this twittering sound the swallows make? Well, there's this kind of sympathetic medicine whereby, you know, if something twitters, well then by somehow taking it yourself, you would cure that ailment. So it was a cure for dumbness, for stammering, for not being able to speak. And there was actually a recipe for this, and the recipe calls for the following ingredients. So this is a 1692 recipe, I hasten to say. 50 swallows bruised in a mortar, that means all squished up and made small, feathers and all, 1 ounce of castor powder, 1 ounce of white wine vinegar, and then sugar as well. And this was all to be mushed up, liquid added to it, water I suppose, and then you drank this. The poor swallows. And of course it's great luck to have swallows nesting on your premises, you know, if you have them in your barns, because swallows nest indoors. And it would, you know, be a terrible thing to do to knock down those swallows' nests, because all your luck would be gone with them.
So swallows have been part of our lives for many years, And from the moment they are first seen in Ireland, from early April onwards, their arrival back at their nest sites is anticipated by many people. One such man, lucky enough to have swallows nesting on his property, is Joe Curtis. Joe lives in the gentle rolling hills of the Knoll in North Dublin. At the back of his house are converted stables, and I visited him in late May to see his swallows.
Well, Eric, you picked an ideal day to visit Knoll.
Fabulous, isn't it? Great weather we're having.
It's really lovely here. We're out here. Oh, we're in the stables here on the left-hand side.
This is where they're starting now at the moment. They're building two nests here,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we got these gates open. Oh, they're just here. You can see the last year's nest has been repaired. Yeah.
Do you know, it takes up to 1,000 mud pellets to build those nests. And each year the male will either build a brand new nest, but you can see here that this bird is actually repairing it, is it?
It's repairing it, yeah. It started a couple of weeks ago. We keep records, reasonably good records of them over the years. And for the last 10 years or so, they've arrived in the second week of April. And they pretty well start right away into the reconstruction of the previous year's nest.
Of course, it's the male that arrives first and sings and tries to attract the female in. But both of them actually engage in nest building. The female is the one that lines the nest because she's the one that does all the incubating. So she has a say in the interior decorating, as it were, of the nest.
This time of year now, they work very hard at it because they're on the go from 5 o'clock in the morning until pretty near dark at night.
Well, the nest is just nestled under one of the rafters on the roof of the stable here. It's a small mud nest interlined with grass, and it has been slowly built up. You can actually see the newer layers on top because they are a different colour than last year's nest. Barn swallows, which is the correct name, they come back every year, the males particularly, to the exact same nest that they've held territory in last year, and most often they will breed with the same female on successive years. The young birds tend to come back to the same area, but may, especially the females, may go to a different area, but always within 2 miles of where they were hatched. So swallows are very faithful to the one area. I think
it's incredible when they do arrive here, which is about the second week, pretty well second week of April, and they're with us until the last week of October.
Really?
Yeah. And last year now they had three broods per nest for three pairs. So quite a goodly number.
How long have you been keeping records, Joe?
Yeah, we've kept records pretty well since these stables were constructed, which is 15 years ago.
And have they been nesting in the stables every year since?
They have. Interestingly, the very first year, they were here for a relatively short time, a total of just less than 60 days. But now they're here with us for an average of 200 days in the year. So out of the 365 in the year, they're here. Ireland.
It's interesting that because last year a lot of people were saying that the breeding was very late and that we had a fantastic summer in September, October, and that birds like swallows and house martins were nesting very late. What was the late time?
No, I didn't find that. The three clutches were out and gone in about the same time.
And what's the average clutch size you've had here?
Five is mostly what we see.
That is the actual average for barn swallows, so for swallows,
is it four to five. What's also interesting, Eric, is you notice all the additional mud droppings that they have, or little pieces that they put onto the rafter on the left-hand side of the nest there.
You can see foundations that they never built on.
Yes, indeed.
That is amazing. Perhaps if we just stay still and just see, because if they are still nest building, if we just stay still and quiet, they may well come in and continue on.
Oh, you can be sure of it, because they don't pay too much heed to us at all. We come and go. There he is, look.
He's just come in.
Yeah, deposited some.
Yeah, some small pellet of mud.
On the top.
It's like building a wall, and they just slowly build it up, and then they interweave some grasses into the nest. It really is. It's an amazing structure.
I also noticed that they use small fluffy pieces of feather as well. From the hens.
That's normally what they line the nest with. They line the nest particularly with feathers. So, because you have hens and ducks here, Joe, it's ideal. But it's also interesting that you're talking about how cave-like this is, because caves and cliffs are the natural
habitat, nesting habitats for swallows.
Oh, really? Yes.
It is only since man has made all these structures that they have started nesting and are associated now with man, in that they almost nest primarily in old sheds and buildings and outhouses and stables in this case. But they used to nest always on cliffs and in caves. So it is a natural thing that it feels very much like a cave.
What I find incredible is, how do they adjust their eyesight to go from the darkness into the light so quickly?
That is actually an excellent question, because they're going from bright sunlight outside straight in here, and they know exactly what they're doing. Yeah. Birds have very good eyesight. They have an acute sense of vision. They're really sharp.
But even obstructions inside, it doesn't faze them at all.
No, not a bit. They're nothing. Very agile. That's a classic feature of swallows. They have very long wings. And they have their great aerial, great agility in the air. They can move.
Yeah, maneuverability is good.
And that's the one thing also with swallows, that those long tail streamers almost act like rudders and allows the birds to swerve and move. They use that for coming into a place like this, but they also use that for catching flying insects, which is primarily what they feed on.
Our swallows come from Africa, but no one can be really sure how many birds actually make it to Ireland. It does seem crazy that they should come here in the first place. Anthony McGeehan is the warden of the RSPB Reserve in the Belfast Harbour Estate and is one of Europe's leading bird experts.
It does, it seems totally crazy.
Yeah.
And it's even all the more sort of difficult to comprehend, because there are several species of swallows in South Africa. Which are semi-resident. They move around a wee bit, but they don't, embark upon these huge sort of global migrations that the swallows do. And the explanation for this mammoth migration seems to lie in understanding that during the last ice age, which is approximately 11,000 years ago, all of Northern Europe was inhospitable. It was under the ice. The ice even extended down to southern France. So you didn't touch upon a kind of a livable climate if you were a bird until you were in the Mediterranean basin. And it seems as though that what happened was that a core of essentially African species started to push a bit further north, because they discovered that going a bit further north, you find good conditions, other food sources. And they extended right up into Europe. So in many ways, the swallow that we're so familiar with now is best thought of as an African species which has expanded north. Under the circumstances of that expansion, it is discovered that it can find food, it can find there's a long summertime, so it can raise a family, and happily it can get back up and down. The downside to the swallow is that in trying to maximise those, or to gain sort of optimum benefit from those conditions, it's got to go through this process of having a very high casualty rate. A lot of birds don't make it. They manage to make the journey 2 or 3 years in succession, but there must be an awful lot of loss on the way.
All over Ireland, swallows return each spring to sheds, barns and outhouses. Swallows cross many boundaries on their travels, and for the past 2 years have been the subject of an international study as part of the European Ringing Scheme. Declan Manley, a qualified ringer who lives near Edenderry in County Offaly, invited me to assist him in his work. In early July, we paid a visit to a nearby nest on a local farm to ring 5-day-old swallow chicks.
Good farm smells indeed.
Farmyard
manure. There's a nest here, is there?
The nest is just here, so it's actually quite low.
Oh, excellent.
Normally I have to go get up a ladder to try and get at the nest, but today...
Oh, you can see the chicks in it now.
What my trainer always said when you're ringing chicks is to bring 3 bags. The first bag, you take out the chicks, put them into it.
Yeah.
And then you put a bag in the nest or beside the nest, that just in case the adults come in, that they don't see the nest empty. If they see the bag, they'll just go away.
Yes.
Or in this case, they'll see us, so they won't. They'll go back out. Okay. And then the third bag is when you have them ringed.
Yeah.
Take them out, ring them, put them into the second bag, and count them all the time to make sure you have them. Well, it's you sort of think, did I take out 5 or did I take out 4? And you go home and there's one still in the bag.
And what age are these birds?
It's the best time to ring them is between a week and 10 days. So these ones are probably about a week old.
Why is that?
It's if they're younger, they're too small, and the leg is actually too small.
Okay, yeah.
And if they're older then, if they start to get feathers, yeah, there's a risk of them actually exploding, as it's called, which is jumping out of the nest.
Okay.
So if you go up and they're, say if they're a week before they're fledged, they're feathered at that stage and they're kind of, and they're wide awake.
So they simply,
you know,
explode
and,
into your
and
face.
They just,
as they,
and they go, yeah, everywhere. And okay, then if you try to pick them up and put them back in, they jump out again, yeah, and they end up getting killed.
Yeah, so you need to monitor these nets at all stages.
You do, yeah. You need to kind of have check what ages they're at and what stages the chicks are at. So.
He's leaning up and taking one out, yeah, very carefully. Oh my God, they're tiny.
So that's tight, you see. But you see, their eyes are actually still closed.
Okay.
They're just beginning to get pin feathers on,
yes,
the wings and,
yeah,
on
the
tail.
Yeah, the forced feathers, aren't
you? That's right, yeah. So this is the kind of the ideal stage,
yeah,
to be
still
doing.
It still has down on the back,
that's
as well.
That's right.
And the big,
body,
big,
yeah,
yellow gape, which that's, is, of, yeah, course, what
and the
prompts
big, the and the big fat tummy. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Well fed,
yeah,
well fed.
Well looked at, yeah.
So,
I'll
just pop them into the
first, him in the first bag.
Do you want me to hold the bag?
Yeah. Sometimes you end up having to do this on top of a ladder.
Like, yeah, I know. Much easier here. It's a beautiful old building.
Ideal
height. Wooden beam going across, and they're just, no, the nest, so, is just under the beam.
No, so that's two. Normally four to six is,
yeah,
the normal.
Have you ever seen a bigger clutch than that?
Six is the biggest I've seen, okay, actually, with swallows. Yeah,
yeah.
With
three.
Yeah. You can actually see the shells here on,
yeah,
the ground from the eggs, like,
oh, yeah,
and the droppings are beginning to,
yeah,
another indication too of the stage the birds are at is the droppings under the nest,
yeah,
like when they hatch first, there's very few droppings, it's mainly the adults,
yes,
and sometimes the adults will just let the droppings fall out, take the droppings from,
yeah,
the nest, but normally they carry them out,
yeah,
but then as the chicks get older, they can actually just stick their rear ends over
and
the older they get, the
more droppings
accumulate,
yeah.
So if you see a big pile of droppings under the nest,
okay,
it probably means the chicks are too big to ring at that stage, because,
okay,
they're nearly ready to leave.
And the eggshells are just
the
real
shells,
beautiful,
right,
sort,
yeah,
of a,
and little spots
almost
on the little hairs now,
yeah,
sticking them. They tend to, when the chicks hatch first too, you often notice that when the nest, the birds are on eggs, just as the chicks are going to hatch, they tend to bring in feathers to line the nest,
okay,
even at that stage.
Yeah.
So sometimes, especially at home now where I'm in and out of the shed every day, you know, his fresh feathers on the foot,
yeah,
floor, and then about 2 days later, you know, his the eggshell, so,
okay,
they're just beginning to hatch.
And I've read it's a female that does most of the lining of the nest.
It seems, yeah.
It's the male, yeah, that does a lot of the initial building, so we have five chicks,
yeah,
in this
empty
beautiful room. Little purple bag.
Brand new bags. Compliments of the post office. I was in there the other day and I said, any old bags? And he said, oh, here's a few.
So
I just put that bag just beside the nest.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, in this case, it's probably, there's not much
yeah.
risk of the bird coming in because we're standing beside
okay.
it. And then I'll get Patrick to do the writing then.
And Patrick is your son. And
he's
able assistant.
Yeah, exactly. He's been out.
I'd say Patrick is well used to this.
Well used to it. And
so the rings are very, very small.
Rings are quite small, like, yeah, and it's a split ring.
Okay.
So and then the special pliers. So you put it into the pliers and then around the bird's leg.
Yeah.
And then squeeze it and then turn a right degree angle and firm it in so there's no gap.
No gap
between
okay.
the rings.
And
so
it causes them no irritation.
It doesn't cause any problems.
No,
the ring will turn and it'll move up and down
okay.
along the leg.
No,
so
they're sort of one or two of them are quite strong. They're sort of climbing up
that's
the
right,
edge.
That's right, they wriggle around, but their eyes are, actually that one's eye is just beginning to
just
open,
beginning
or
to
just
open.
Barely,
yeah.
which is just ideal because if they're too alert,
yeah.
if they're too big and, yeah, like, you know, they could jump away on you. This, the ring, well, the last digits on the ring are number 79. Right, Patrick? Yeah. So
and they're unique to that bird.
It's a unique,
so
yeah. The whole series is T203579. That's the full number.
Okay. So basically, this ring will identify this bird
this
for
bird,
its life.
For
if
its,
it's found
yeah.
or caught anywhere,
anywhere
in
the
world
yes.
we'll know exactly where this bird
yeah.
came from. Look at the little.
I've closed it now slightly,
yeah.
and now I just close it the rest of the way. See, that's just tightens it in.
Yeah.
Just tighten another. It's just important that it doesn't.
It doesn't go over the feet.
Yeah, or it doesn't. There's no gap like that.
Yeah.
Anything could get caught.
Of course,
especially
yes.
even with the nest. You see the lining.
Yes.
The horse hairs in the nest or cow's hairs.
Yeah.
So I'm putting him into the
yellow
bag.
The yellow bag.
But
okay.
that's one done. Just get another ring off.
It has long been said that swallows return to the same nest site each year. But can we really be sure that this is the case? Declan brought me to his own sheds where his ringing studies have provided the answer.
So, right, this is the shed here now where the swallows are breeding.
Okay.
And you can see just right up in the centre of the rafters, there's a nest, and you can see by the pile of droppings on the ground where the young have actually fledged this nest about a week ago. Although they're still coming back in here in the evenings to roost. They roost in the nest, and two adults roost just on the little wire up there.
But it's these adults I'm very interested in, because, I mean, everybody asks the question, I mean, how do you know if it's the same birds that are coming back all the time?
Well, the answer is here in my little red book.
That's exactly it.
This is the male swallow that's here is P978231.
Yeah.
And he was ringed in 2002 in this shed.
In this actual
shed? I actually put a net in the shed inside the door, and he flew in and I caught him. And the female, which is R488104, she was ringed last year in this shed.
So, and they're both
and
back.
Both of them are actually back this year, which is kind of unusual because normally it's only one of the pair.
Yeah.
Like, I've been ringing in this shed for, I suppose, 5 or 6 years at this stage. And every year there's normally been one of them back. But this is the first year that both of them have actually survived. So both of them have survived and they've repaired.
Now, that's what I was going
to
ask.
It's interesting to know whether they've spent the whole winter together in Africa. Probably not, I would imagine. But
These birds have actually nested together, paired together last year, migrated all the way to Africa, and have found their way back to this exact shed, have met up again, and have paired again this year.
And they're breeding, and say, like, they have six birds have fledged about 2 weeks ago, and the young are still coming back into the shed, but in another week or so, they'll have dispersed, and they'll start breeding, so they'll have a second brood. Because most years they have two broods, like, and even a possible third brood.
So these birds have actually come back. That is
unbelievable. These are the actual same birds. Like,
and have you ever had that before? How long, for example, would a swallow live?
Well, the most I've had them coming back is, the male that's here, this is his second year back in this shed. Now, he was an adult when I caught him, so I'm not sure how old he was.
So he was at least 1 year old.
He was at least 1 year old when I caught him.
So he's at least 3 year old.
He's at least 3 year old at this stage,
And was the female an adult also?
The female would have been, they would all be adults. You see, when you catch them in the spring, you can't determine whether they were born last year or 2 or 3 years ago, because they do a complete molt in the winter, so you can't tell. With certain birds, you could catch them now and you could know that the bird was born last year, you know, with finches and, you know, and blue tits, stuff like that. But unfortunately not with swallows, because the adults and juveniles do a complete molt in Africa. So they both look identical when they come
totally
back.
They're totally fresh for migration.
When they come back here, they look the same. They're all fresh.
It'll be interesting to see if either of them come back next year.
That's right, yes. And I mean, like, up the road now in my mother's garage, there's a pair nesting there, and the female has been there for the last 2 years also, like, you know.
It's unbelievable when you actually think, you know, the size of a bird and the size of the brain
of a
bird that is able to navigate from Edenderry to South Africa, come back all the way up through the Sahara, through Europe, across the Irish Sea, into Ireland, and find its way back to the same shed in Edenderry.
Same shed,
it just blows my mind. And I mean, this is the scientific proof, because often ask, how the hell do you know that the same birds?
That's right, you're guessing otherwise.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
because one swallow looks the exact same unless it has a very unique, you know, plumage feature or something. But, you know, having the same pair from last year back nesting together again, I wonder, do they mate for life?
It's the big question, isn't it? Most years I would only have one of the pair, but then it's possible that the other one got killed in the process, you know, in the migration or for some reason. Or possibly a stronger male could take over the shed, could arrive before the original one, you know, and put out, and maybe the female then would just stay in the same shed. You know, there's a lot of variations, and you know, but at least the ringing gives you some idea, like, you know, you can kind of piece together the puzzle.
Well, maybe I'm going to have to come back next year, Declan, just out of curiosity to see if either or both are here again.
That's right, yes.
It is only since ringing studies were undertaken that the remarkable truth of where swallows actually go in winter emerged. While adult birds have the experience of migration, young birds that leave the nest when only 3 weeks old and become fully independent by 5 weeks face an incredible journey by themselves. In their first few weeks, young birds roost each evening in large colonies in reed beds or crop fields. If we are to have a fuller understanding of how young birds migrate, it is essential that as many of them as possible are caught and ringed. I returned to Edenderry in late July, where, shortly before sunset, Declan Manley unfurled his 60-foot-long mist nets right beside a field of maize.
You can see the maize out here,
okay.
And it's about 7 or 8 foot nearly at this stage. It's really growing now once July comes in.
Yeah.
But you can see the similarity to this and a reed bed.
It looks exactly like reed bed.
Even the little flower on the top is almost like the flower on the phragmites.
So the birds are beginning to come in to roost here now in the evenings.
That's right, yeah. I mean, as far as they're concerned, this is a reed bed. And I mean, traditionally they use reed beds, but now the maize is kind of a new discovery?
It's basically
a new crop, and I suppose it's only been grown in Ireland the past maybe 10 years or less.
Okay, so you have your net set up here.
I have the net set up here now. I have the net furled. So basically what I'm going to do is I'll unfurl the net and open it up. And then the idea is that we'll catch some of the swallows coming to roost.
But how are you going to catch them? I mean, it's such a big area. I mean, and there's so many areas for any swallow to roost. How the hell are you going to actually catch them here?
You see, that's the trick. I have a tape of a swallow call. Actually, it's a CD.
Okay.
And I have an amplifier.
Yeah.
So basically what I do is when I open the net, I'll put on the swallow track, put it on repeat, so it keeps playing a swallow song and swallow call.
Ah, okay.
And the theory is then, the swallows, like that, as you said, there's about 20 acres of maize here, so they could roost anywhere in this maize. But if they think there's swallows in there already, the other ones will tend to join them.
So basically what you're doing is you're fooling them.
I'm fooling them to think that there's a little group of swallows just here beside the net. And then
the safety in numbers, of course,
exactly.
So that should attract them in. Well, it'll be very interesting to see how it works. You're going to unfurl the net.
With the nets open and the CD playing, we slipped quietly away for a cup of tea before returning to the nets 30 minutes later.
There's at least four birds caught here.
Four there, okay.
Yeah, so what we'll do is actually, I'll just turn off the tape first.
Okay.
The tape lure, because I think, everything else has gone to roost.
Yeah.
And,
I can see them.
Yeah, some of those are juveniles.
Yeah.
You can see the quite
short
pale
tails,
under, and quite pale under the throat.
About six or seven here.
But yeah, there's actually quite a few, yes.
Okay, let's do
it. I can turn off this tape now. peace and quiet. The guy opposite the tape will have a pain in his ear.
Yeah.
So you see, the net will catch. Oh, so you squeak it. He's not too happy. This one's actually a juvenile. You can see how pale he is under it and the very short tail.
Okay.
Even though you can still almost see the little yellow gape on him.
Yeah.
So he's probably not that long out of the nest.
Okay.
Just the juveniles usually screech at you like that. So just a little cloth bag. So I put one in each bag.
Keeps him quiet.
And tie the top of it, and that keeps him. It's dark in there now, so it keeps him quiet. So I'll just keep working away.
Okay, you keep doing it. I'll keep holding the bags.
You hold the bags.
Looks like another.
It's another juvenile.
Another juvenile.
It tends to be mostly juveniles you catch, like at this time,
okay.
Because these would be the first brood, okay. And they're out. They're independent now. They're starting to find their way around.
Okay.
And the adults are probably still breeding. They're still back in the sheds. The swallows actually are very easy to extract.
Yeah,
they just tend to sit there. I was going to say quietly as he screeches at me, but then. Again, we'll put them into the bag.
Each bird is carefully removed from the nets and placed into a bag to keep them quiet and calm. Then, one by one, they are measured, weighed and ringed before being released. Each one, in turn, went to roost in the maize field.
It's 21.9 grams. Like
21 grams.
And,
is that light for a swallow? Or
No, that'll be average enough, yeah. Like I say, they probably will put on a little bit more weight. And that's all I need to take for here. And I recorded the time, we caught them, which was basically about 10 o'clock when they actually got caught. And that's it then. He's ready. So I'm just
going to
turn off the light now. Because still, actually, there's enough
light.
Yeah,
there's a lot. It's still quite a bright evening.
So I can just And there he goes.
And going straight off
into the maze. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So he'll probably find some of his friends. So again, it's just, we'll start on the next one. Which is number 94, and again it's the same process. So we keep going till we get to the end of the bag.
Yes.
That's all right. Not too happy. He's nice and comfortable in there in the bag. Why'd you have to wake me up?
20 days later, one of these birds was caught going to roost in the reed beds of Pollardstown Fen in Kildare as part of the same European ringing scheme. In 20 days, it had moved only 30 kilometres from Edenderry, which is a relatively small distance when compared to the 9,500 kilometre journey these birds will have to make to reach their wintering grounds on the western Cape province of South Africa.
They do fly over the Sahara. They are a splendid example of a kamikaze bird, which is also a success. So it doesn't kind of like expend its energies, you know, to the point of being a total disaster. And their migration is broad front. That means that the birds just set off and they head willy-nilly in the correct southerly direction, but they don't channel themselves around the edges of the continent. So if you lived in West Africa in countries like, say, Mauritania or the Ivory Coast, swallows are quite scarce. They're really coming through the middle and then sort of stopping at the end of each day's flight, because they fly during the day and they stop at dusk. And they're a social bird. They prefer to move in big flocks, or certainly a stream of birds, not lone individuals. And they probably have their route mapped out for desert oases, reed beds, forests, places like this. So at the end of the day, stop, down for the night, and first thing in the morning, they're off again.
But it's not just reed beds and desert oases. And what an extraordinary experience it must be for a young swallow on its first migration from Ireland to land on telegraph wires, where the distant sounds of an African market replace the familiar sounds of an Irish countryside.
It takes them 6 weeks for the autumn migration to get from here down to South Africa. And in the spring migration, funny enough, it takes 4 weeks. It's not because they know a shortcut, it's because the pace of spring migration is often a bit more hectic. There's a lot riding on the first bird's back. The male will want to get back to his territory to sort of sit on wires, to sing, to woo the females, which come a wee bit later than the males. And obviously the first bird's back get the best territories, have more chance of finding the mate, and so on and so on. So there's a real momentum in the spring, which is not quite so hectic in the autumn time.
And it's a journey fraught with danger, some man-made and some natural.
They face a staggering amount of dangers, some which we can relate to here. I mean, maybe bad weather. They could be blown off course. They could be on a flight, for example, down to the Bay of Biscay and hit kind of, you know, strong headwinds, lashing wind and rain, things like this. But as they get further and further south, the dangers change. And, you know, it may come as a bit of a surprise to discover there is a species of falcon which breeds exclusively in the Mediterranean, all the way from Morocco right through to the Red Sea. It's got a wonderful name, Eleonora's falcon.
Okay, yeah.
The species of falcon, which is a kind of bird of prey, its evolution takes cognizance of the fact that September is the top month for the migration of smaller birds through the Mediterranean. So the bird breeds then. It has young in the nest in September, and it hunts exclusively for day-flying migrants coming through the Mediterranean. And there is an amazing statistic which says that 1 in 800 swallows which come down through from Western Europe crosses the Mediterranean, 1 in 800 will be picked off by Eleonora's falcons.
By Eleonora's falcons, 1 in 800?
Yeah, well, it takes Eleonora's falcons. They're a pretty big bird. Now, yes. if you can relate to the size of a peregrine falcon, which would be the size of a big pigeon or a crow, and Eleonora's are about the same size, but they're longer, they're more graceful, they've got a more agile flight, obviously so, because they're a fast pursuit falcon chasing things like swallows.
We've almost come to the end of this very long flight to Cape Town. It has become completely dark. We're in the descent towards Cape Town, which is clearly visible from our cockpit window. That means
we know our swallows winter as far south as the Western Cape province of South Africa. In late September, I decided to make this tremendous journey myself to see if I could meet the first birds returning to their wintering quarters.
Your attention, please. Passenger Dempsey, kindly contact the airport information.
Here, I met up with Johan van Tonder, a professional guide with the eco-holiday company SafariWise and one of South Africa's leading bird experts. He took me in search of European swallows.
Yeah, Eric, we're on the outskirts of Cape Town,
okay. About
45 to 50 kilometres northwest of Cape Town, on a gravel road, as you can see.
Indeed.
En route to Darling.
To Darling.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're bringing me to Darling.
Yes, my dear.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, of course, the reason why we're here is to look for swallows, and we have found them.
Indeed.
There's a flock. There's probably about 40, 45 swallows here at the moment. And
oh, yeah,
even
at least.
Just looking through them for me, it's instantly see what I refer to as swallows. But of course, you would call them European barn swallows. There are a couple of other birds. There's one just going by me there. Wait, what one is that?
Yeah, that was the pole-breasted swallow.
It looks bigger than European swallow.
Slightly, yeah. And it's got a rapid flight as well.
Okay, yeah, and it doesn't have the red throat. It's quite white underneath.
Yeah.
And there's another one just going by there. That very, very blue on the upper part.
That's the white-throated swallow, Eric.
Okay, that seems a little bit small. That's about the same size. And does that have did I see a black band or a band across the throat on that?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you separate
white throated.
Yeah. Okay. That's how you separate them from pearl breasted. Okay.
Yeah.
And just there's a few swallows just landing there on the wires. Oh, I can see the pearl breasted, and there's about 12 European swallows, and I'm a bit surprised because they actually look like they are adult birds. I would have expected that. Well, it's only late September now here in South Africa. I would have expected that the first birds that you would have received were young birds, juvenile birds.
No, not at all. No, the first birds arrive here from the barn swallow side. It's the adults that arrive at first. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely amazed by that. I would have thought that juveniles, having, you know, fledged from the nest maybe in June and July in Ireland, would have been the first birds to reach here.
No, not at all. As I said, it's the adults that arrived first. The first ones just arrived in South Africa or southern part of Africa. And towards the end of October, November and December, a major influx of barn swallows. We do see that in the Western Cape.
So what other swallows turn up here, Johan?
Well, Eric, we've covered basically all these swallows that we can see in the Western Cape or in the peninsula area. Other swallows of interest in South Africa is the lesser striped swallow, which looks very much the same in flight or for first time round as the greater striped swallow, but with distinct differences, but smaller. And then the wire-tailed swallow, and then, of course, the blue swallow, which is endangered in South Africa.
Well, I just say it's so much easier for us in Europe because we just say, the swallow, we have one swallow, and House Martins and Sand Martins, so it's much easier for us. And I've been confused all morning looking at some of these birds. It's quite confusing. In Ireland, people see the first swallows, newspapers, print letters of the first swallow, arriving into Ireland. And it's sort of a sign of the year turning. Summer's on the way,
That's
spring
right,
is here, and, it's long days ahead. Do people in South Africa have the same vision or view of swallows?
Oh, yes, very much so. Especially with the European swallow that arrives here end of September, mid-October. That's summertime in South Africa.
Okay, it's the beginning. Because, for me, it's late September. It's in Ireland. It's the autumn, and autumn migration is well on the way. But it's, of course, only spring here. So birds are getting into breeding mode, and birds are arriving here. And this is your spring coming into summer.
That's right, yeah.
The interesting thing about swallow migration is that youth is not necessarily an advantage over age. Studies have shown that it is in fact the mature adults that reach the wintering grounds first. They hold the ace in the pack, experience and knowledge. They've done this journey before and are seasoned travellers. So how can we be sure where these swallows are actually coming from?
They've done studies and ringing projects on the barn swallows specifically, and it dates back to the 1948-1949 summer season.
It's very early data, isn't it?
Yeah. And over the last couple of years, they recorded or retrieved and caught more swallows and misnetted them. And, we always thought that most of them, according to the old data, that about 80% of all these swallows would come from the European or from the UK and Ireland, etc.
But well, that's what I would have thought.
But over the last, say, 5 to 7 to 10 years, things have changed a lot with the big roost of swallows coming into the area of Bloemfontein in the Free State and in Umhlanga in KwaZulu-Natal.
That's north of the Cape Province.
The Western Cape Province, It's one of the 9 provinces of South Africa. It's the Free State that was previously known as the Orange Free State.
Orange Free State.
That's right.
Okay,
So a big roost of barn swallows do occur in Bloemfontein, and they've mist-netted them by their thousands and ringed them, and discovered that about 80% of all the barn swallows comes from the USSR.
The USSR?
Yeah.
With such a diversity of birds arriving here each winter and so many international ringing studies taking place, the evidence is clear that Irish swallows are reaching South Africa.
In June 2001, they found a swallow in a building and released it. And that bird was found in Roscommon.
That really?
Was ringed in South Africa in Bloemfontein, okay. That's right. And another one, more recent one, was in June 2002. This bird was found in Carlo, but unfortunately it was killed by a cat,
had
the ring.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, see, this is amazing. So you have birds from, you know, the likes of Ireland and from Europe, mainland Europe, and also birds coming across from Russia, all funneling down and travelling right the way down to southern Africa.
That's right, yeah.
And, I mean,
yeah.
It's an amazing journey. Oh, there's some more swallows just coming in there. There's a few more barn swallows there. I mean, I've this year, Johan was looking at swallows on nest sites in Ireland, and we ringed some young birds in the nest. They're only 5 days old. I was in Eden Derry. And, you know, it amazes me that it's possible that even among some of the birds that we're watching here, of course not because they're adults, but in the winter, some of these birds may well be flying around your neck of the woods, your neighbourhood, your
right,
areas.
Yeah. 9,500 kilometres further.
It is unbelievable.
Down south.
And I mean, having flown for 12 hours at 600 miles an hour on a jet, I was exhausted after the journey. It is such a long journey, but looking out and watching the vast expanse, say, of the Sahara Desert right below me, it really hit home. These birds make an unbelievable journey. It's about 9,500 kilometres, about 6,000
right.
miles.
Yeah.
And then they return north. What time of the year do they leave?
Well, it's around about February, March, they start leaving, and by April you don't see a barn swallow around anymore.
And they're,
gone
for your winter and our summer. You've never seen European barn swallows nesting in
No, not at all.
You know, you've only seen them here in the wintering quarters. Are there any dangers that they're facing at the moment? I mean,
well, yes, Eric. It's a worldwide trend. It's not just in South Africa that they face these dangers. I mean, it's all got to do with habitat destruction, farming practices. I think it's got more of an influence in the European countries where they breed and the offspring they must be from the parents.
Yes.
Global warming is another serious threat to them. Those are basically the main things, and it's human beings, once again.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, what hits me sometimes seeing birds like, you know, swallows here all the way down in Cape Town in South Africa, and having looked at them all somewhere up in Ireland, that really conservation is a two-way thing. There's no point you conserving your habitats and your birds down here when perhaps they're endangered further north in their breeding grounds. And likewise, when in Europe we don't conserve our birds that migrate, because it has to be done jointly. And you were saying that there's a lot of ringing being done now. Is that being done, you know, in cooperation with ringing studies in the north, in the northern hemisphere?
Oh yes, with the ringing studies they do up in the Free State, which is basically our major study area in the Bloemfontein area. They've taken hands with the European ringing scheme.
Okay, yes, yes.
There's collaboration. And as you say, I mean, there's no reason for conserving our habitat and they all destroy it in Europe or vice versa.
Yes.
So it's from both sides.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's such a pleasure to have had an experience to see swallows at both ends of the world, of their world and of my world, in fact. The cycle has been completed. For you, of course, they will leave you in March or April.
That's right, yeah.
And the cycle goes on. And I may see these same birds there's a few more coming in there. Yeah. They're obviously coming in now towards
the evening.
You
might recognise a few familiar faces
up
there.
I think I just might. That is just superb. I consider myself privileged to have been given a glimpse into the world of Irish swallows. I've watched them build nests in early summer.
We're out here, we're in the stables here on the left-hand side.
This is where they're starting now. They're building two nests here.
Yeah.
And have seen young birds grow from being helpless, bald chicks, just 5 days old, to being fully fledged, independent swallows.
It's 21.9 grams left.
21 grams.
Yeah. So he's ready, so his eyes have adjusted. There he goes.
And I have travelled as far south on the African continent as it is possible to go. There, I have seen the first swallows returning to their wintering quarters. It is truly an awesome journey. For young birds, hatched in Irish barns and outhouses this summer, it is a journey that sees them, in just 5 short months, go from egg to Africa.
Homeless, homeless, the moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake.
Mooney Goes Wild is presented by Derek Mooney and produced by Derek Mooney.